This is Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. How do journalists bring important stories to light? Sometimes a well-placed source spills the beans. Sometimes a whistleblower comes forward. Another important way, maybe less familiar to you, Public Information Act requests. They allow a journalist or nonprofit or business, anyone, to request information held by the state and local governments. Terry Headley is managing editor of the Frederick News Post. He said his newspaper put in about 30 requests last year. A lot of them were to local governments and police departments.
Everything from how many times they've used their tasers to traffic citations to speeding, you know, the speed zone cameras, and I think we also filed dog bites. Yeah, you know, so it's a wide range of topics that would be of interest.
Maryland's Public Information Act was enacted in 1970, before email, before desktop computers, way before thumb drives. It hasn't gotten a major update since then. But some journalists and advocacy groups want to give it an update. Senator Jamie Raskin and Delegate Bonnie Collison, both Democrats from Montgomery County, are sponsoring bills to overhaul the Public Information Act. And with me to talk about it is Jennifer Bevan-Dangle, Executive Director of Common Cause of Maryland, an organization that advocates for more government transparency. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me.
We heard Terry Headley list a few types of information that the Frederick News Post puts in PIA requests for. How does a government agency or county decide whether to grant a request?
We've unfortunately seen develop a culture against granting requests, and that's why this bill is so important. The agency or the local government should look at the request and as quickly as possible and as thoroughly as possible, get that information to the citizen or the advocacy group or the reporter who's looking for it. But too often they use exorbitant fees or ill-worded exemptions to avoid compliance.
Are there specific types of data that they do not have to divulge?
There's a lot of data that is protected for very good reasons. Social Security numbers, HIPAA medical information, adoption records. So certainly an agency has to be careful that they're taking out those truly personal, truly confidential pieces. But then we see the gray areas, the personnel exemptions that are used to prevent releasing data that another county would gladly release, trade secrets, corporate information. We've seen cropping up lately an exemption that doesn't even exist in law, which is government deliberation. And that's been used to avoid turning over emails by decision makers. It's a very murky world without enough enforcement.
Is there data on how many requests are denied?
Unfortunately, we can't even get access to that information. Last February, Fox News put in a request to the state attorney general's office asking, tell us what's happened in the last 3 years. And they got back such an exorbitant fee that they could never follow through with digging out to get that information.
Well, what is the recourse if an agency or county denies a request?
Currently, there isn't one. And that's one of the biggest problems with the law. We've actually had horror stories where a citizen says they were told by the agency, well, sue me. Because right now, the only way to force a response is to go to court. And most everyday people can't afford that.
One of the changes that you're pushing for is a compliance board that would help settle some of these disputes. Tell me about that.
We feel this compliance board is critical. When we looked across the nation at other states that do have a robust access to public information, most of those states have a single person or a small board that is responsible for ensuring that these requests are answered. The compliance board can compel disclosure. It can lower a fee if the fee is exorbitant. And if we have a truly bad actor, they can even put in some statutory damages and require the agency or local government to pay fees for their bad behavior. It'll change that culture.
You're using the present tense. This is how you envision the law working, or you're saying this is how it works in other states?
It's how it works in other states, and it's what the legislation would create for Maryland as well.
When we spoke with Terry Headley of the Frederick News Post yesterday, he said the most important reform that could be made would be around fees. You talked about fees can be exorbitant. Fees for the requests that are charged by state and local governments.
I think there needs to be a really hard look at how possibly some jurisdictions are using the ability to charge people for research and for making copies to their benefit.
Not every Public Information Act request does cost money, but how are fees structured right now?
Right now, it's a very loose definition, and it's up to the entity holding the documents whatever they believe is reasonable for producing them. And that's led to something as basic as the cost to copy an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper varying in cost among state agencies from 8 cents a page to 32 cents a page, depending which agency you ask. The other place we see the fees being raised unevenly is sometimes you'll have an agency charge an attorney's time when it's the intern running copies. So the fees have been used to block access in a very meaningful way.
On WIPR, this is Marilyn Morning. I'm Sheila Cass speaking with Jennifer Bevan-Dangle, Executive Director of Common Cause of Maryland, an organization that advocates for government transparency. Producer Matt Purdy spoke with Les Knapp. He's legal and policy counsel for the Maryland Association of Counties, or MACO. They have not taken an official stance for or against the bill. Knapp said they support government transparency efforts.
But that does need to be balanced with the realistic funding and capabilities and staff and abilities of local government and limitations on technology that they're working with to provide that information. And that's a tough balance to strike.
Do you have any idea how much more counties and cities and the state, for that matter, how many resources it would take to devote to public information requests if this bill passes?
We're not changing the landscape of the number of requests that are out there. The biggest impact on government resources is a very clear provision in the law. Instead of giving 2 free hours of search time, they would now have to give 5. And we do respect that that has a cost in some staff time to comply with a request. But our hope is that the overall clarity that this bill will provide as far as making the fees more standard, making the times where they can withhold data more standardized, that it will actually become more efficient of a process overall, saving time in the long run.
Some skeptics might say making public information requests cheaper, faster, just easier could endanger personal privacy.
But the basic provisions still remain. And we're not changing any of the protections around Social Security numbers or medical records. Those provisions will always be there to make sure that truly personal information isn't disclosed. But the bigger picture, the public's ability to know how decisions are made, how tax dollars are being spent, and how their regulations are impacting their day-to-day lives, that public access is so critical. It's time it was brought into the light.
We spoke last year with Senator Bill Ferguson of Baltimore about the bill that created a Maryland Council on Open Data, tasked with promoting a more open approach to handling public data. One problem he brought up at that time was that data is collected in different ways by different state agencies.
There have been attempts to standardize that data across the agencies, but it is increasingly difficult to match all of the different formats that have been created over time.
Has there been any talk of helping counties standardize how they collect data?
That conversation is ongoing. We've been very encouraged to see Montgomery County take the lead, and they recently passed reforms that actually require all of their county-level agencies to track and monitor these requests in the same manner, making it much more easy for citizens to communicate with their government and get the information they need. With a county as large as Montgomery County leading the way, we do think that the state and other counties are able to follow and provide the same sort of access to their residents.
One of the things that I've been confused about in reading up on this issue is, and you just mentioned, for example, fees for copying pages. I would presume that most of these information requests are for data or information that is kept electronically, not in a paper file. So are these requests usually answered with a paper file?
Surprisingly often, it is a paper file where a staff person has literally run off photocopies and struck out information with a marker or a highlighter. However, we are seeing a slow transition to more electronic access. And thanks to past leadership by Senator Malano and Delegate Carr, we do have a protection that if the data isn't available in electronic format, the citizen can get it in electronic format, which is much faster and cheaper overall. And that's a trend that can help to continue to bring down these costs of reproduction.
The State Integrity Investigation, a nonprofit collaborative that looked at corruption, transparency, and openness in all 50 states 2 years ago in 2013, gave Maryland an F for public access to information ranked it 46th. Are there states that you think are doing this right?
When we looked across the nation, we were encouraged to see Florida, which actually is the oldest Public Information Act on the books, has a very strong reputation for responding to requests in a timely and efficient manner. States like Connecticut that have a commission to oversee this type of request, again, very good reputation among the citizens and the advocates so they can get the data they need. So this is being done elsewhere, and we do believe by adopting these reforms, Maryland can rise back up to the top of the list.
I appreciate you talking to us about it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Jennifer Bevan-Dangle, Executive Director of Common Cause of Maryland, a nonpartisan nonprofit that advocates for open government. We've got a link to House and Senate bills at our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. Switching gears, we're putting together a segment about access to mental health services in an upcoming show, and we want to hear about your experiences. Have you or someone in your family had trouble getting a timely appointment with a psychiatrist or finding a provider in your insurance network? Did you find that numbers you called were outdated or just wrong? Whatever your story about access to mental health, residential treatment, or addiction services, we want to hear from you. Leave us a voicemail at 410-881-3162 or email us at mdmorning@wypr.org. Make sure to include a phone number where we can reach you. Again, our phone number, 410-881-3162. I'm Sheila Cast. Ahead on Maryland Morning, the essays of Pakistani writer Mohsen Hamid. Stay with us on 88.1.